Final hour, fist pump time on the fam cam, Twitch and YouTube. Hopefully you're getting it like us here on Sean and RJ. DFW Sports Station, your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, is this radio dial. We got Aiden running things in the back. We got Peyton Russell up front. I'm Sean Trafe alongside RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt is out on vacation. Tonight, the debut of Cooper Flagg on ESPN. Not ESPN2. No. Not the Jake Rietma Ocho. It is on ESPN 7 o'clock against Bronny and the Lakers.
Bronny James, baby. This is going to be interesting. This is going to be a fun one. There's not many summer league games that you are like, yeah, you know what? I need to watch this. Want to? Forget need. How about want?
Yeah, I want to.
Yeah, this is one of those kind of want to watch. So 7 o'clock. Let's go. Night. You get an hour and 38 minutes before Ranger baseball starts to soak in all the flag.
Any expectation or something you need or would really like to see?
Expectation.
I'm anticipating him running the show and playing point guard per Jason Kidd. So it could be extra sloppy tonight.
It could be. You know, like, for example, Ace Bailey did not have a great game in his first game. But he did. They loved his hustle. They were like, this guy played his guts off, right? But he did not have a great scoring output. It just showed his competitiveness. It showed that he cared. That you could get something out of it. Edgecombe had a really good game in that first game. Yeah. He scored a ton of points. You know, that's something also to take. There's a lot you could take away from it. You want to see him score, but you don't want to see him do is go out there and go 4-for-20. That's what you don't want.
All right. A little more basketball to throw your way. We've got a lot of WNBA notes, so we definitely need to do this while Bobby is out. Apparently, on Jeopardy, they only know one female player who knows hoops and plays hoops. This was a question asked on Jeopardy.
This UConn star had an intense spring in 2025, playing on her first national championship team and being picked first in the WNBA draft. Rahul.
Who is Caitlin Clark?
No. Scott or Sarah? That's Paige Beckers. Back to you, Sarah.
Come on!
Wow.
UConn 0 for 3. Nobody knew. No one even had a second guess. You couldn't even guess Angel Reese?
Nope. Guess not.
The only two players that you probably know, no one could do it.
Nobody.
And Angel Reese? Yesterday I said SGA was the cover boy for NBA 2K26. Angel Reese is on there too?
Angel Reese is on the WNBA edition.
Is there a separate WNBA edition?
I assume there is. I didn't know that either. I didn't know that either, but
it might be on the same game.
You can just switch over.
I think you can switch over.
Because I thought I saw Carmelo on there for some reason too.
As a throwback, yeah. But they are putting Angel Reese on the WNBA edition of NBA 2K. And they're also debuting her brand new Reebok shoe on the cover. So this was kind of like a joint promotional tool, right? Reebok is like, hey, we'll just debut it on the cover. And Angel Reese, certainly popular, is on the cover of NBA 2K. The users on social media were having a little bit of fun with this. One person said she didn't make top 10 fan voting for the All-Star game. Another said, this is like putting Andre Drummond on the cover. What a shot. Come on.
She has recently said that the league is fixed, that the officiating is crooked. I mean, she's always doing something in some press conference.
She got fined for criticizing the officials. But yeah, she's been going off on the referees. And the referees are... WNBA's got some problems, man. They keep shooting themselves in the foot. They can't seem to capitalize on Caitlin Clark. They can't seem to capitalize on Paige Beckers. They're just shooting themselves in the foot.
Did you see the all-star payouts for the WNBA?
$2,500?
$2,500 each participant. In the NBA All-Star game, players on the winning team receive a $125,000 stipend. Those on the runner-up get $50,000 each. The other teams in the four-team tournament format get $25,000 per player. In the NFL, players on the winning team of the Pro Bowl get 92K. Players on the losing team get 46K. Baseball pays its all-stars $15,000 with a bonus of $25,000 for winning. NHL did not hold an all-star game this past season because of the four nations. The all-star MVP for the WNBA gets a $5,000 bonus, and the winner of the three-point skills competition, an additional $2,500 bonus.
Yeah, and Affleck, I think, is chipping in $60,000 for the skills competition and the three-point contest, which is good. Good for them, right? Yeah, it's they're paying a ton of cash for that, but I was stunned to see $2,500.
And people were like, no wonder people are celebrating for winning the in-season tournament. I don't know how much that pays out, but I imagine it's at least $2,500.
Probably.
Yeah.
They don't make a lot anyway. I mean, like, the average salary of the WNBA is like $60,000-$70,000. It's not a lot. I mean, you're not talking a ton of cash.
All right. I need some parenting advice, please, on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. Need your feedback. As tomorrow, I'm going to be out because we're planning on my daughter getting tubes put into her ear. And I know that this is an all-time parent-baby discussion and decision, and I need to know, are you okay?
Yeah, I just... my hand like cramped up on me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Thought you were doing the Bobby like.
Oh no.
What's that test that he does?
Yeah, see how many times he could tap his finger together. If he can't tap his finger together, he has like ALS or something.
Yeah, he randomly does ALS testing on himself.
No, it's just like you get the, you know, what's whatever that between your thumb and your index finger, that fatty, cushy area. It's cramped up on me.
So I haven't done a ton of research because I'm told it's like really simple, 15 minutes. She could be at school the next day if it wasn't Saturday, but she's got to go through like surgery prep. Anytime you get put to sleep, that's not the most comfortable thing. We got like 6 a.m. arrival time, 7 a.m. procedure for my daughter. And she's just been getting, I mean, she's had 5 or 6 ear infections, and it's like a petri dish, they said, that sits in her ear with liquid in there, and it's actually contributed to a little bit of loss of hearing. So I just wanted to know some parental feedback or advice on the tubes being put in before we actually do it tomorrow morning. Fred Davis is supposed to be in my seat along with RJ Choppy for the Friday edition. So I appreciate that from Fred.
100% chance. We get canceled tomorrow.
Yeah, I think tomorrow. Although Bobby tells me every single time I'm out now doing a show with you, you get more and more worried and paranoid, which I've never experienced in 15 years, that you think you're going to get canceled every other hour when I'm not here. I'm getting these stories and feedback that you're turning into old grandpa.
No. See, I worry about Bob. I'm trying to protect Bobby. See, I feel like when you have to lead the show, you're in the protector's seat. You have to protect.
I did with Hagelin yesterday.
Yeah, I got to protect Bobby from himself.
Or yesterday, or 2 days ago.
Yeah, so I got to protect him from himself. So that's why I'm. I'm not worried. Cancer culture isn't real anyway. It's a fake thing.
It's gone now.
It's gone. If you don't let yourself get canceled, you can't get canceled. Mm-hmm. You just say, I'm not going to get you. You can't cancel me.
Do you think he's more paranoid?
There's been some times that even I think I've caught myself saying something when you're out, and he's like, geez, Peyton. But I don't know if he's just doing that for like the effect. But yeah, right. When Bobby has said something, and Bobby's gotten in trouble for it before. So, I mean, RJ was right in that case that he can worry here and there.
You have any experience or feedback with tubes in the ears?
We thought about it with Julian. He had 11 ear infections.
Whoa.
And but his wasn't like a virus necessarily, and the reason why we didn't do it is because
he wasn't getting sick?
He was getting sick.
She's getting legitimately sick off of each one, like the congestion and the gunk and the coughing.
Fever. He was getting all that stuff, right? But his was because our pediatrician said that the way he would have his nighttime bottles is that the milk would drain out and it would get milk in his ear. It was like water in his ear. And that was the main culprit for the ear infection.
Okay,
was,
so I don't understand this.
I don't know. I don't know.
Like, I feed my daughter her bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Was Julian, like, just grabbing it and manhandling
the
baby?
Yeah, he would hold himself.
Yeah.
And then he would fall asleep, and he would just keep it tipped up, and all the milk would drain out, and it would drain down his cheek.
Like, how old are we talking?
He was probably 18 months.
And you just put him in the crib with the bottle and let him go to town? You didn't feed him with him in your arms?
Maybe it was less than 18 months. It was probably from about 8 months to 18 months is when he was getting sick.
Wait, y'all put him in the crib and let him just drink it?
Yeah.
Like, see you when I see you in the morning?
See you when I see you in the morning.
Really?
They'll put him to sleep. He would do it himself, right? He was old. He was about a year old holding it up. And it would just drain out. It would drain into his ears. And then...
wouldn't go in the morning and, like, see the milk, like, wet or wet bed sheet?
It dried up by a lot of it, but it dried up by then. But he went swimming. We got him swimming early.
Yeah.
You get the water in your ear, and it just was... It was a pain for him. But we were gonna... We had thought about it, and then we were like, eh... The pediatrician was like, he'll grow out of them. So we're like, fine.
Okay.
But we had one of those pediatricians that was like completely hands off. Like, he's fine. He'll get sick. Don't do medicine. None of that stuff.
Old school.
Very old school.
I have a great chiropractic Tolo who's been telling me they don't even allow this in Europe anymore or some other countries, that you can take her to a chiropractor, get her adjusted with a tremendous success rate. And he's left me very detailed voicemails. I couldn't totally sell my wife on it. He's like, you can just take her to, you know, Rowlett. I got a friend over there. And I was like, let's just do something non-invasive and try to fix this. But it just keeps coming up. My in-laws swear that's what made her embarrass and humiliate us on the airplane, even though she was fine during takeoff and landing with the ear pressure. But tomorrow we're supposed to get this done.
My guy Scooter from Wilshire Pools said, tell Sean tubes are easy. The worst part is where they put the IV in and do the anesthesia. Good to go the next day.
IV?
For the anesthesia.
Okay. I thought maybe a little, you know, gas mask.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. They might do the gas mask to start.
Pepe?
Yeah, so a lot of the Tolos apparently have kids that they've either just done the tubes in the ears or have in the past, and they're weighing in now on the fan techs. 682 says she won't be ready to go to school on Monday.
She will not be ready on Monday?
Right, she won't be ready. So it's longer than the weekend process, I guess. 940 said just the tubes with my 13-month-old in April. Super easy and fast. Daughter hasn't had any ear infections since then. 817 says no big deal. Two of my kids had tubes and ears. She will feel better.
Okay, makes me feel better. Because, and then the hearing loss, and, you know, she's only...
That's what you don't want.
I think my wife only wants this because she's saying dada, and my wife probably thinks that she's not hearing mama.
Right.
And she's not saying, so it's not about really fixing her infections. It's getting her to say mom's name and not just me.
Because
I'm the favorite right now.
Right. The hearing loss, well, that's what you really don't want, because that can affect speech. That can affect a lot of things. Oh, yeah. For sure.
So there it is. Thank you for the advice and the feedback on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053.
Don't be paranoid. Kids are tougher than we are. My middle kid had 3 sets of tubes.
Dang.
Waking up from the meds was the worst.
Ew.
Wow. Okay.
My big worry is tonight, like, you know, clear liquids, and she'd been waking up nonstop after midnight, torturing my wife, getting up with her. Because you're not supposed to be drinking or the solid foods and all that stuff. So I'm sure it'll go the worst possible scenario for us, as everything with the kids usually does. All right, there it is. Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line on DFW Sports Station. Did the Cowboys make today's top 10 list?
Boy.
It's the Red Zone on the Home of America's Team, a.k.a. your football fix after this. And this is the big cash giveaway at GimmeTheVIN.com. It's already the best place to sell your car, and now it's even better with the GimmeTheVIN.com big cash giveaway. They're giving away $25,000 in cash every month. $25,000 extra in your pocket. Get 1,000 chances to win if they buy your car. For more details, go to GimmeTheVIN.com. Say goodbye to dealing with dealerships and private sale tire kickers and get a true buy offer for that car. GimmeTheVIN.com. Put your car right on the money, providing you with a hassle-free online option to sell your vehicle for more. It's as simple as going to GimmeTheVIN.com, putting in your car's VIN number or license plate. You'll get an offer in minutes that's well above any dealer quote. You can go to one of their pickup locations or they will come to you. It's easy and it's fast. GimmeTheVIN.com is America's best car buyer.
How many people want to eat a W tonight?
You know what I like about the media? They think you can just dial 1-800 and get a quarterback.
Yeah, there you go.
Update, RJ.
Sabalenka has tied things up at one set apiece in this crucial, crucial semifinal match between her and Amanda Anisimova.
She's American, apparently.
She's American. She's an American girl. Yeah, Anisimova. Doesn't look anything like her picture because she's got the visor on. But they just showed Sabalenka's boyfriend.
There's some guy in a Corey Majors tank top.
I think it is Corey Majors. Is it still Tuesday over there? It's not Tuesday over there, right? It's Thursday. The tank top Thursday over there at Wimbledon. He's not wearing white. He's in a black tank top. Does he know the rules? You got to wear white when you walk in there.
Yeah, and sleeves. I can't believe they don't allow make you wear sleeves in the stands.
It's so hot over there, they gave him hats. They gave everybody these like fedora hats. It's probably mid-70s.
So we're tied at one set apiece. RJ Choppy on the edge of his Wimbledon seat.
I watch way more of this than I ever thought I would. I've gotten into it this year.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand it. I like Jannik Sinner. I like Sinner a lot on the men's side.
All you got to do
is Italian. And Sabalenka, I like her.
Just make sure you don't make the elementary mistake, because this automatically disqualifies you, in my opinion, from a tennis discussion. Don't mess up volley and rally.
So
that's the number one rule I'm going to advise you.
A rally is what they're doing now, right? Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Exactly.
And a volley is when, is that when you go up to the net?
Very good. Very good.
Look at that.
But not when you smash it like a serve at the net. That's an overhead.
Oh, so when you're, okay, you're just.
When you just, wow, wah, chopping left, right,
and then
left,
you go
right.
Smack down and it goes way over their
head. That's the overhead.
That's an overhead.
That's an overhead smash.
Overhead smash.
Yeah. So volley, rally, and that's basically it.
Okay.
All right. Just know the differences.
There we go.
And you're good to go. You know the scoring?
15-30, 40 advantage.
Yeah. But if we split the first 4 points, what's the score?
First 4 points be 40-40, right? Look, it'd be deuce?
No.
30-30.
30 all.
Oh, 4 points.
First 4 points.
All right. Yeah.
If I win the first 4 points.
If you win the first four, so 15-30, 40, then you win the set.
I win the game.
Game, not the set.
Game.
Set match.
If I win the first 2 points, it's what? No, if I lose the first 2 points, I'm serving. And I lose the first 2 points.
Love 30.
You're ready to talk.
Genius. Here we go.
You're ready for the bars.
Here we go.
You're ready to go to the bars, well, a happy hour.
I had a wild moment. I was at the gym yesterday on the treadmill, Peyton. And
I thought you don't do cardio.
I'm getting old. I got to.
All right.
I had to get off my blood pressure medicine. I stopped taking it. Because I was slurring my speech. I was getting my memory loss. I was forgetting everything. I was like, what the hell's going on? I looked up the side effects of blood pressure medicine and cholesterol medicine. And the first thing is like memory fog and slurred speech. I'm like, well, crap, I got them both. Let me stop taking
it. Yeah.
So I'm starting to get out of the trip. And they were in the first set tie break. And I was like, oh man, now I'm all confused.
Oh yeah.
It was 6-6. And then this guy's serving back to back. And then the other guy's serving back to back.
Yeah.
And it's 1 point at a time.
Don't worry about all that. All right. ESPN with the latest top 10 list from Jeremy Fowler. He polls executives, coaches, and scouts to rank the different positions throughout the league. Cowboys finally showed up yesterday with edge rushers. Micah Parsons was number 3 on the list. Safeties. Peyton Russell, you're going to have to step into Bobby's chair here. Who wants to guess the number one safety in the National Football League?
Ed Reed.
Kind of close.
Hamilton?
Kyle Hamilton. Highest ranking was 1. Lowest ranking was 9.
Wow.
Last year's ranking was 2. Let's see how many safeties we're going to actually be able to name.
I'm going to Google best safeties in the NFL.
All right, Peyton.
The first one that pops up is Ed Reed.
Nice.
Xavier McKinney.
He's number three. Good job from Aiden's Green Bay Packers. Highest ranking was 1. Lowest ranking was 10. This may be the biggest discrepancy between higher, lower rankings that we have amongst the groups. But we're still missing number 2.
Kirby Joseph?
No, NFC. Kirby Joseph is 5, so that's a good guess, but very, very close.
Very close.
Oh, Detroit.
Super
had
close.
One
oh. Dion's kid.
Luck. Brian Branch.
Brian Branch. Okay,
no, Brian enough. Branch, number 2.
Not Dion Branch's kid, I don't think.
Highest ranking was 1. Lowest ranking, unranked. We're all over the map here. Wow. But look at Detroit with 2 of the top 5 safeties.
Yeah, they Yet they allowed 45 points in a playoff game.
Yeah.
Playoff game.
Jesse Bates, number four. Number six. Big name.
Antoine Winfield?
He's seven. Bigger name.
Minka Fitzpatrick?
No. Good guess. He's nine.
Bigger name.
AFC. West.
Derwin James.
Derwin James is number six. Antoine Winfield, number seven. Number eight is a big name in the NFC West.
Oh, Buddha.
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 Well done. Number nine's Minka. Number 10, Julian Love from the Seattle Seahawks. Honorable mentions, Javon Holland, Giants. Brandon Jones, C.J. Gardner-Johnson with the armpit now. Kalen Bullock also with the armpit. And there are no Dallas Cowboys beyond the honorable mentions. Not a surprise.
I went to PFF's rankings of the safeties, top 32 safeties. There's not a Dallas Cowboy on here.
Yeah.
They had Minka was 16th. They had their ranking as Kyle, Xavier, Bates, Winfield, Brian Branch, Kirby, Derwin, Buddha, Brandon Jones, and then Javon Holland.
Two Lions top five. The Lions are featured in Netflix's Quarterback Second Edition because of Jared Goff. And here is the wife, girlfriend of Amon-Ra St. Brown talking with Jared Goff's wife. And they're discussing number selection for their jerseys.
The number thing is so funny with the guys. Was Amon always 14?
Always. You know what? He'll never admit this, but he asked me to count the amount of receivers before him, and that was going to be his number, and I messed up.
No.
And it's not 14.
Brooklyn.
And I told him it was 14, and so that's why he's 14.
Does he know you?
Brooklyn.
This was early, like right after I got drafted. I was like, sure, let's do it. And then I recounted. I was like, that's not the right number. It was actually 16 receivers.
The girlfriend miscounted the number of receivers taken for the revenge, and he went back to double check, and he should be wearing 16, Goff's number, instead of 14.
Yeah, so Jared's 16, which I'll tell you this, 16's a quarterback number. You know,
yeah.
There's, you know, Joe Montana is 16, right? There's been some, you know, Peyton in college was 16. Like, that's his quarterback. 14, I went and looked. The best 14 as a quarterback ever is probably, what, Y.A. Tittle? That's not a quarterback number.
No.
14 is not a QB number.
Yeah.
So let a receiver go and get 14. 16, 12. You can't have anybody that's a non-quarterback wear number 12, yep. Number 7, number 18.
Agreed.
So that, you know.
Your favorite highlight from this is coming from the Lions coach.
This is Man Campbell, Dan Campbell, MCDC, Motor City Dan Campbell. This was before their Week 14 game against the Packers. And this just... this made me kind of giddy inside because he's a guy, first of all, he's a madman, but this is, I think, what you want every coach to do. He tells you what you're going to do, and you get the confidence that you're ready to run through a wall for the coach, and this was about going for it on fourth down in that game against Green Bay.
I'm going to tell you how this is going to go down. Offense, we are going to put everything on your ass, okay? I'm just telling you right now. You got to show up. You got to show up in a big way. The way we play ball, we're going. We're going four downs all the way up and down this field. As long as it's not 4th and 20, you understand. We're going. And we will just march down this field, and it's going to be so glorious, gentlemen. This will be one you're never going to forget.
All right.
You want to go.
And when he said... you know, you've got to show up. He was pointing to Jared. He said, you've got to show up. You've got to show up in this game. It's on you. And then I went back and looked. They were 4 for 5 on fourth down in this game. They did not go for it on 4th and 8 from their own 10 and 4th and 8 from their own 23. And they kicked on 4th and 10, a field goal from the other 25. Other than that, they went for it on every fourth down. And the one they didn't make it on was a 4th and 1. Somehow they got stopped with that offensive line. But, I mean, that's just... I hope Shoddy is like this. It appears Dan gave Goff, like, a pair. Like, he really kind of turned him into a man. you know, I'd hope Shoddy gives Dak the kind of confidence that Dan gives his players?
Well, let's look at confidence from Vegas when it comes to most passing yards this regular season. Pepe, you'll be good to guess because a lot of this is fantasy. Bet Online sent me the numbers. Who will have the most passing yards amongst the quarterbacks? Philip?
Josh Allen.
No. Josh Allen's not even top five.
Most passing yards.
Is Goff still on there? Is he still up there?
Goff is tied for third, so
got to be Burrow then.
It is Joe Burrow. 11-2 plus 550. Who is second?
Herbert.
No.
Not
even top 10.
Not even top 10. Okay.
Come on, Peyton.
Stafford? I'm trying to think of quarterbacks that's row.
Good one. That's
not
a good
Stafford.
One. Not Stafford.
Not even top five.
Because it's not Lamar.
No.
Not Jalen Hurts.
No.
Jaden Daniels, no.
RJ, you don't want to guess like your man crush?
My man crush. I mean, Goff's kind of my man crush.
Cholesterol pills.
Goff's kind of man
crush. The ultimate man crush. Your God. The GOAT.
What? Oh, Mahomes? Really? I didn't even think he would be on there.
No, I'm just saying, do you want to guess him? He's tied for third with Goff, 10-1.
Okay. Yeah, I would not have guessed.
Why? They're not handing off like the Chargers. Not handing off like
No, that's true.
Give me Dak Prescott. Number
it
one.
Is, oh, finally.
Really?
Rain, Dakota, Prescott.
Wow. Draft him first round now.
9-1, second in Vegas. I'm telling you, take that over for the win total. Dak is second at 9-1. Ooh, that was excruciatingly painful.
That was painful. I mean, I'm
Goff and Mahomes 10-1. Then Baker, Purdy, Stroud, Penix 12-1. Allen, Stafford, Lawrence, Herbert, Love. Let me give you the passing leaders in yardage over the past 6 years.
By the way, I don't think Herbert at that number is a bad one. I also don't. I don't
20-1.
I don't know. I don't think Lawrence is a terrible one either if he could stay healthy, just because they have to throw.
I think Love I'd take over Lawrence definitely at 22-1.
My concern with Love is the weather. In Jacksonville, you're going to get pretty decent weather year-round.
All right, receiving yards, regular season leader.
Receiving yards.
It is Jamar, 9-2.
And then I guess Jefferson's got to be two.
Jefferson is tied with someone in Texas.
Mr. Lamb.
No.
Oh.
Nico?
Nico Collins at 15-2 with Justin Jefferson. And then tied for third, Brian Thomas Jr., Malik, and CD. Puka Nacua, 14-1. Then Tyreek, A.J. Brown, and Amon-Ra. Most sacks?
Miles.
No. Tied for second.
Tied for second. Well, it's not TJ. He never gets to the quarterback.
Micah Parsons.
No.
Nick Bosa.
No.
Jared Verse.
We got a text about this after the show yesterday. I think you guys were on it.
Is it TJ Watt?
No.
Okay.
NFC.
NFC.
Jalen Carter.
Jalen Carter?
We have to get Aiden in here. Aiden is takeover. Aiden Hutchinson.
Oh, yeah. We did get a text about him.
That was
yeah.
Reitma saying he was disrespected on the edge list.
Okay.
Hutchinson, you weren't on it?
No.
Well, you still shouldn't have guessed Jalen Carter. That was stupid no matter what. Aiden Hutchinson, 5-1. Micah and Miles, 6-1. TJ, plus 750. Danielle Hunter, Bosa, Trey Hendrickson, Will Anderson, Max Crosby at 14-1. Some of your updated football odds in Vegas.
Major development at Wimbledon. Okay. Anna Samova broke serve. Okay. And now Sabalenka's panicking. She's forgotten how to play tennis. She keeps hitting it into the net. She's falling to the ground, and she's just changing rackets.
Sabalenka broke first, and I think she was up 30 love.
Yeah.
If she won that, it would have been 2-0, basically set over. And now it's 1-1, and she trails. The other girl is serving.
Yeah.
So give me the score.
30 love.
Good job, RJ Choppy.
And it's she's panicking. She just changed rackets. And she did the same thing the other day.
More from Ralph McEnroe in Crosstalk with a KNC masterpiece. Next.
Jackson kicks in, deals. And this ball is gone. Wow. What a shot off the bat of Soler. That one sails way over the bullpens. A no doubt about it shot by Jorge Soler, his 10th home run of the season, the 201st of his career, and he puts LA on top 10-8.
I would love to give you a little bit more baseball commentary on your home of the Rangers as they lose 11-8 to the Angels last night on this radio station, but apparently more important things are going on.
I mean, you really are invested in this.
I am. I don't know why. But Sabalenka just loves to hit. Her favorite shot is not the drop shot. It's not the overhand
shot.
Isn't that where you just a little slice tap kind of thing?
Yeah,
It spins off, right?
Very
nice.
Good.
No, her favorite shot is where she just hammers it into her own net.
Oh.
Like that one right there.
Right on cue.
Literally
that
on cue. Right there.
On cue.
That's her favorite shot.
And just as I'm impressed with RJ Choppy's tennis passion, I'm maybe more impressed with Kevin Hagelin's betting prowess. I have most certainly not. I was pausing over
been
that.
Been betting on that. I have been making plays.
Making underdog plays?
On daily fantasy on underdog and just needed Anisimova to win more than 10.5 games.
That was out.
And so once she won the first set, we're good to go.
Wow.
So you bet, you played the over 10.5 games on the underdog 13 seed?
Correct.
And you won it?
Correct.
And you won the other day?
Correct.
Because you scouted that Sabalenka doesn't.
This is when she loses at Wimbledon. RJ,
yep.
Just tell the people. Did I tell you?
You did tell me
she would lose in the semifinal.
But I got news for you.
It ain't over yet.
Well, she's down 3-1.
She's down 3-1. She will not lose a game the rest of the way.
Oh,
she just redid her hair.
Oh,
it is time. That's like Stallone. That's like Stallone and over the top when he turns his hat around before the arm wrestle. She just fixed her hair.
And she's
this thing is over.
But she's not serving.
No, she's not serving.
All right.
She's going to break serve. This thing is over.
All right.
She's going to break serve
twice. So you're calling 6-3 in the final set?
6-3 in the final.
I like it.
Let's go.
You know, something Choppy said a few years ago stuck with me, and that was...
Something?
If somebody knows how to bet WNBA, they'll clean up.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows how to set the lines.
Set the odds, yeah.
And I was like, Reggie knows that. Like, Reggie knows the WNBA better than anybody I know. And is tennis kind of the same way? What is the ranking of sports of the easiest to clean up on because nobody knows how to do?
I think tennis is more difficult because it's so popular in Europe. And there's a lot of betting in Europe. And there were some issues with tennis and betting. Like there was some some funny stuff going on a couple years ago.
Absolutely, and some people got suspended for it and everything.
So I think tennis is it's pretty difficult. But I think you're onto something with your games won.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and you looked at the inconsistency of Sabalenka had kind of been struggling to close out some of these matches and historically, and I was like, this feels like a 3-set match. Go with the games won.
Oh, brilliant call. And so far, RJ Choppy is on his way to
brilliant
call. We'll see what happens.
Oh, see? She just hit her favorite shot again.
How much do you enjoy watching tennis as somebody who has obviously more tennis bona fides than any of
none.
Us?
None.
Oh, really?
Not really. You know, after Agassi Sampras.
You were done.
That was fun. That was fun.
The 9-hour one?
No, just the era.
That's different.
Image is everything.
That's true.
Image is everything.
Yeah.
There you go.
The Rebel.
Even though we just had the end of a golden era.
It was golden.
Did Joker win the other day?
He did.
Okay. Corey, what's coming up? Enough.
Guys, at 11 o'clock, what makes an NFL stadium iconic? And we got a phone call from somebody about this yesterday.
We did.
As a matter of fact. So we'll get into that at 11 o'clock. And then so much more KNC Masterpiece today.
Okay, has this taken over as the longest question in the history?
Oh, is this the broadest question?
You heard it?
No, actually, they teased it yesterday, and I didn't get to hear the question.
This is Brian Broaddus interviewing Rangers play-by-play and insider Jared Sandler.
Hey, Jared, maybe it's me just kind of thinking this, and I don't know if it's true or not, but you're there every night, and I listen to you every night with the broadcast. Are the Rangers having problems with the bottom of opponents' lineups of getting those guys out?
Yeah, well, last night they did.
I mean, I know it's probably a weird question to ask, but I just, why do I feel like that the last few games and stuff that we've seen some issues with. They haven't been able to get 7, 8, 9. I know last night 7 and 8 were a big problem, but I was just wondering if is there something I'm missing there? I'm trying to kind of feel like that why is the bottom of the lineup like? Because I was listening to you last night, you're like, well, here's the 212 hitter, and all of a sudden it's base hit, you know, and you're like going, I'm going, damn, you know, Jared's trying to tell us there's a possibility here that they can get a ground ball and play this thing. They're playing in the middle of the infield for two and that kind of stuff. And I just feel like, why is the bottom of the lineup killing me right now?
And you're right.
Maybe it's just this one game, but I just kind of felt like there's been other games where they just haven't gotten through that part.
Yeah.
Kevin Hagelin, what was the time?
I clocked that out at 1 minute and 16 seconds.
Right on the money.
If you count it as a continuous question, but there were at least 4, perhaps 5 interjections from Jared. So I don't know if you transfer that to like kind of a conversation versus
it's
a question.
It's not often that you can cut Jared off, you know, or find a pause in
the
things that he says. So that was impressive of Broadus to do that.
Broadus has just texted saying it is the longest question, no doubt. I don't know about that, Eric Chiafalo with Stephen Jones.
You know, one of the things, Stephen, I think most fans are, you know, really curious about, not just with the Cowboys, but really across the league. It's one thing that fans and people like to talk about is just, you know, what the process is of making these in-game decisions in the moment. And it always really ends up falling back onto the plate of the head coach ultimately. But the process involved, how many people are involved in these decisions? For example, Greg Zuerlein, 59-yard field goal. Some people would say, hey, maybe you should go for it there or whatever it may be, or calling a timeout or, you know, any type of in-game, in-the-moment decision. And I'm curious kind of what is the process like? Ultimately, when it's in that moment, is it really just Mike McCarthy deciding for himself kind of based on the knowledge he has in lead-up or whatever it is? Just kind of a gut decision for him, or are there people in his ear saying, hey, we should probably kick the field goal here, or hey, we should call the timeout here? What is it in-game, the process like when it comes to making those sort of game management decisions?
Well, you covered a lot of territory there.
I got a minute 4 on that.
Oh!
So if you count Broadus as not a conversation, but that is a continuous question, he's got it. But yeah, that was a minute 4 from Eric, and man, I love that opening response from Steven. Oh, you covered a lot of territory there.
So Broadus is taking the crown.
Right now, I think so.
If you think that's a continuous
question.
You
covered a lot of territory there.
Well, RJ, your thoughts.
Well, my prediction did not ring true because you know.
4-1.
She
lost the very next game. But
if they put up the Russian flag next to her name, maybe that would give her the motivation.
Right. That's right.
Instead of leaving her blank.
Because that's why you're rooting for her, right? Because you think she got jobbed by
being suppressed.
Geopolitical issues that she doesn't necessarily have.
No, I just, you know, I like how completely ridiculously arrogant she is. When she, whatever shot she hits, it's the same walk, the same stoic, emotionless 1980s CCCP Olympic team walk, right? No emotion, complete robots. They've been,
and you're rooting for that.
Void of everything.
Okay.
I don't know, I like that her boyfriend is telling Wimbledon to go stick it, but wearing a black tank top. Yeah.
What's your Cooper flag setup for tonight?
Yeah.
You know, jersey, like laying over the edge of the couch.
I felt bad.
Little Duke foam finger.
I think Corey wanted more from me on this. And he goes, hey, are you excited about Cooper Flag tonight? I was like, yeah.
That was it.
And then that was the game. I felt bad.
What's the debut minutes that like a top 5 pick
and
usually?
And I think that's what's like.
And he's going to play point, which could be sloppier.
Exactly. I'm excited to see that, but I don't think it's going to be like the showcase like some people seem to think it is. I'm excited to see him out there for sure.
And you mean like all the people paying $2,500?
That is crazy.
And here's the thing, like how, see, when Luka was making his debut, We hadn't seen him.
Yeah.
At all. We've all seen Cooper Flagg.
I have a good idea.
Like,
of what
watching Cooper Flagg isn't like as intriguing because it's like I've already seen 30 of his games.
So when you were talking about the prices, we were talking about this off air, and I said it'd be so much different if Luca saw it and was like, "That's the guy, huh? All right, I'll play." Then I'd be like, "Oh my dear God, what is going to happen in this summer league game?" But
Luca,
yeah, like if
playing Luca, the summer league,
yeah, he's like, no, "I want to go show."
Like
I
if
yeah.
Luca saw Cooper Flagg and he's like,
he stares down Nico in like, Vegas, the summer league front row. Yeah.
But I think otherwise,
he looks at some random like bench player, and you're like, "Give me your jersey, right?"
Yeah.
Now.
Cooper's going to play, what, like 20 minutes, and we'll call it a day?
I really want to see this get to 5-1 before we sign off for RJ.
Aww.
Oh, man.
So do you actively start to root against RJ's pick if he likes it or talks about it too much?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, he makes a bold call. I really don't care. I want to see the upset now. 13 versus 1.
Plus America.
Yeah, I feel bad for her not getting her flag. So I was rooting for her from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that if you're the TV executive or the head of Wimbledon?
No.
Not getting her flag put up next to her name.
I just like, and this is the example we used back in the day when.
What if it was the Ukrainian Open?
Okay, well then I could see how geopolitical pressure would force you. But like back in the day, you try to sell your textbooks back for college at the bookstore. People would start yelling at that poor clerk. And I'm like, do you think that clerk set the policy?
Right.
And like, do we really think Sabalenka is chit-chatting it up with Putin all the time and being like, here's my next strategy.
Yeah.
That's not her fault.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
But hadn't, like, the Olympics have always been political, right?
Oh, for sure.
And so, like, whenever there's international play, people are always going to use those opportunities to do that.
And what's England's role in it, you know?
I have no idea what they even do.
Like usual, England will do what we tell them to do.
That's right. That's right, baby.
All right. We're back tomorrow. Fred will be in for myself. It's the KNC Masterpiece. Yeah, buckle up for that show.
Electric.
KNC next on The Fan.